Hello everyone, welcome to Hear the World. My name is Asaf Ophir, and I've been interviewing people from different faiths on their insights about the coronavirus. Today I have the amazing honor to speak with a good friend of mine. His name is Laughing Coyote, and he's from the California Indian Mono tribe. Hello, Coyote.
Hello, yeah. Hi. Good.
How you doing?
Good. Are we already recording?
Yes, we are recording, and thank you so much for doing this. I would like to start by asking you to introduce yourself. Tell us where you live.
Sure. I live in the Sierra National Forest, which is in eastern and Fresno and Madera counties. I live at about 5,000 foot elevation. The Mono people are indigenous to the Sierra Nevada Mountains on the western range of the Sierras. Basically, our Aboriginal territories cover between Sacramento all the way down to Bakersfield on the, again, the western slopes of the Sierras.
Okay. I wonder if you can share something about where you see yourself in your community? I know that you've done a lot of healing work, and I wonder if you would like to talk about that?
Yeah, most of that is, you know, in a formal sense, has been in the past. My interest right now is on writing and doing research on Native American history here in California, and that's always been an interest of mine ever since college, was studying California Indian history. But my background as far as in relationship to traditional Indian medicine, I've been involved in traditional Indian medicine pretty much all my life and have gone through formal training when I was in my younger years, in my 20s and 30s. And I know that a number of tribes refer to healers as medicine people or medicine men, but we don't use that term. We use the term healer. That's what my teacher referred to himself, and he instructed us that's how we would define what we do as healers. So as traditional healers, we're involved with the spirit world, and there's just so many different aspects to that subject matter, but we do ceremonies, healing ceremonies, and work with the spirits of the land.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. A lot of people, you know, have heard about Native Americans, but I don't know how many people really know much about the cultures, many different tribes, many different nations. And so I would love to try to get some kind of an inside look, maybe just on yours, if you can tell us a little bit about Mono culture. And what I'd love to ask is, if I were a complete outsider, I guess I am, I totally am, and I had, I mean, I absolutely no idea what Mono religion and what Mono culture is like, and I asked you to think of three words that describe it in some way.
Yeah.
Are there three words that you think could describe Mono culture?
I don't know about the culture. I mean, I would say that in regards to the culture, it's California Indian culture. So the three words that I would probably ascribe to traditional California Indian people would probably be to describe the so-called religion. We don't call it a religion. We call it a way of life, spiritual way of life. That it would be spirit, the Mother Earth, and I think just our way of life, the people, you know, our cosmology and our value system, all of that revolves around our relationship to the Creator and our relationship to the Earth. So it really wasn't a religion in terms of being a religious institution or anything like that. I mean, we had our spiritual practices, but I think the difference is that it was a way of life. Everything about our way of life was a religion in regards to walking upon this earth in a conscious way, or as we say, walk in a sacred way, so that you are in constant communication with the sacred. And that's what happens when you live in nature. That's what we call our church, is nature. You know, the great cathedral is like, you go to Yosemite and you see all of the beautiful rock formations, El Capitan or Half Dome or Sentinel Dome. Any of these are like our sentinels. And so that's our church. The earth is our church. And there's a lot of misconceptions about what Native American religions are about, or any kind of Aboriginal peoples, that we worship the sun and things like that. It's not that we worship the sun, it's that we respected the sacredness of the sun. And anyone who's ever been on a mountaintop or in the snow and you're freezing to death, you will understand why the sun is so sacred, when all you're praying all night long is for the sun to come up to give you warmth and keep you alive. And that goes for anything. You know, water is sacred, the earth is sacred, the air we breathe is sacred. And if you have that attitude towards the sacredness of the elements of life itself, as the sustenance of life, and you interact with that all the time, that is a spiritual way of being, of having that consciousness, so that you do live in harmony and in balance with the earth. So that's just a very, again, basic framework of the way that traditional California Indian people think. Now, not all Indian people or Native people think that way, because many people have been assimilated or don't have access to their traditional land, which is what really defines Native people, is their relationship to their lands and how they interact with the lands. But I think this applies to just about anyone that lives in a city these days, is that it's very difficult to connect with spirit or the spirit of the land when you're surrounded by concrete and you're surrounded by traffic and all of these distractions that don't give you much opportunity to have that connection with the earth. There's just so many unnatural elements there, of concrete and traffic and pollution. And really the biggest pollution is the way people think. You know, people their minds are really stressed out, and they're very negative, they're anxious, they're depressed. And this was even before the virus hit. You know, I mean, that's kind of like the normal state of mind of people today in America, that is not a way of life or a way of being that's natural or meant to be. You know, we're meant to be happy people all the time. We're not meant to be stressed out all the time, or anxious about life, or depressed about life. And again, this is even before what has come upon us. The pandemic has, if anything, it has magnified all of the things in American life or the world that are wrong. And if you've been following the news, many of the people that have been dying of the virus are people of color. Mainly, as the news says, African Americans and Hispanic people in some cities, 80%, and they only make up 30% of the population or less. And there's a reason for this. They haven't had access to good health care. The people who are getting hit the hardest are the most vulnerable in the society, the poor and the elderly. And any society, in regards to their humanity, to measure what I would consider, you know, you hear the term great, you know, America is great. Well, that should be measured by how you treat the most vulnerable in your society, whether it's children, whether it's elders, old people, or people with disabilities, poor people, homeless. We never had homeless people. You know, in traditional Indian societies, there is no such thing as homeless people. There is no such thing as prisons, mental hospitals, facilities where orphanages, none of those things existed because the people took care of one another and there was no need to have any of these things. We didn't have old people's homes where we warehouse old people because our elders were respected and held in high esteem. So everyone had a place and a purpose. In this society, it's just the opposite. And the thought of a elderly person being isolated and then told that they can't have family come in anymore, and then they start to get sick, and then pretty soon they're dying and they can't have their loved ones or any family member to be there with them. You know, that's a really horrible way to go. And there's no easy answers to it, but I think the government and our society should have taken better care of our elders, and they didn't. It's just better not to have them in sight. You know, as they say, you don't see them, then you don't think about them, you know. And again, the virus is beginning to really accentuate those disparities in our society. What's wrong? That this isn't what a great country should represent. It's just one more aspect of what the virus is doing. You know, it's really showing what this nation is about. But I also want, just to add to that, it's a real human tragedy. This isn't just something that has happened here in the U.S. It's all over the world, of the way people treat the poor. And then you have the probability that already the virus is spreading into refugee camps. And Syria, for instance, what's going on there with the war, and Yemen is another example of refugees that have nowhere to go, and then the virus start to spread. And, you know, again, another example of the fact that we as a, quote, civilization have failed in the most major way when it comes to protecting the most vulnerable in our society.
I wonder if we can focus, really get into the coronavirus itself. Is there any insight that you can share with us coming from your experience and from your background?
It's kind of interesting because I've been working on a book, and the completion of the book coincided exactly with the virus emerging like late March and early April, when things really began to accelerate, and I guess the nation was becoming more aware that this was an actual pandemic. And the things that I write about pertain exactly to what is going on in regards to the fact that right now the earth, people on the earth are going through some real darkness. And all of these things were foretold by various Native American prophecies and the elders and medicine people. And I remember when I was going to college, I used to attend various conferences throughout the UC system, some in UC Riverside or Berkeley, but they were basically a conference that was featuring various Native American spiritual leaders and medicine people like Thomas Manyaka from the Hopi tribe and Philip Deer from the Muscogee tribe in Oklahoma. And these were very amazing people, but they all had a very common message. And at that time, we're talking about the early 1980s, that their message was that we are going to be entering a very difficult time period coming down the road, and this is a time that's referred to by, as Thomas Manyaka calls it, a purification day, when the earth will be responding to a lot of the negativity that has been generated by human beings. So they were basically saying we have to begin to prepare ourselves for this time and age that's coming down the road. And I remember Thomas telling me, I was just in my early 20s, and he was already an elder, like in his 60s or so, and he said to me, I won't be around to see it, but you will, which was really sobering news. You know, I mean, what exactly were they referring to? And so now, many years later, looking at what is going on here in America, it's not just the pandemic per se, but it's also global warming. It's climate change, which is actually a more serious existential threat to humanity than even this virus, the COVID-19 virus. But they're all interrelated. I mean, everything that pertains to what's going on with the earth right now is interrelated. And a lot of this basically comes down to the way of life of our society, modern way of life, which is antithetical to what we call the original instructions of the Creator. And the original instructions of the Creator is basically this, how the Creator intended human beings to live in balance and in harmony with the earth. This is a very big subject matter, and we're just barely broaching, you know, upon some of the more interesting aspects of what's going on right now. But I see that this pandemic, COVID-19, is in a way, it really is the Earth's reaction or response to human beings that have not been following the original instructions of the Creator, and that is how to walk upon this Earth in a good way, in a sacred way. And so now we're paying the consequences for that. And again, it's not just the virus. It's everything, the environment, and everything that's interrelated to that, which includes how human beings structure their societies. If there's a disparity, social economic disparity within the society, then that too brings imbalance to the earth. Because people are not happy. And when it's just like a body, you know, if there's pain somewhere in the body, it affects the whole body in some way or another, you know, the holistic way of looking at it. So you can't have one aspect of society that is hurting and not expect that the entire humanity is going to in some way suffer because of that.
Yeah. I'd love to try to, I wonder if you have any way of applying that to people's personal experience, like as individuals or say as me in my own life and what I have an effect on and what I have power over. Is there any kind of advice or wisdom that you can give me as a person or to give us who are listening, like, how can we apply this? What is it that you think we can do, or what is it that you think we should be thinking about at this time? Is there any kind of direction that you can give us?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to look at what has happened here in regards to the COVID-19 pandemic, in terms of the fact that it has affected every person on this planet. But what is also being told is that this is just the beginning of Purification Day. And when we say Purification Day, we're not talking about one day, we're talking about a period of time. So this is really about whether or not human beings are going to be able to truly understand the significance of the time and age that we live in, and to become very mindful of what human beings have done to the earth. And I mean, I could spend hours and hours just talking about how the earth has been degraded and all the pollution and global warming and species dying out, marine life, fish dying out. I mean, there's just so many layers to this in regards to the earth catastrophe that is man-made. It's caused by human beings. The focus of our material existence is greed and materialism and a way of life that is just about consuming. And we take and take from the earth without giving back. And so this way of life is not sustainable. The American way of life, or the capitalist system, is definitely very destructive to the earth and to ourselves as human beings. And so this virus has forced people to really contemplate about what really matters most in life, because I think we're all engaged in this so-called rat race and going about 100 miles an hour, living our lives, making a living and doing this and doing that. And a lot of it is being distracted by TV and our electronic gadgets and being on social media and all of that. All of that is a distraction. I think it's forced us, hopefully, to, again, think about what's the most important things in life. And, of course, there's nothing more important than life and death issues. And I think it's forced people to think about their own mortality. Nobody wants to get the disease, the virus, but it forces us to have to really think about what is the meaning of life and death? Is there an afterlife? Is there a God, what we refer to as the great spirit, creator, or is there nothing? Is this it? You know, all of these great questions, the meaning of life, all of these things, everything that pertains to being in the here and now, I think that it's forced people to really examine the most important aspects of life in a way that they otherwise would not. You know, we would be just continuing on our daily normal life routine, and it's really interesting to see how this has made people become more introspective and maybe force people to be with their families or with their loved ones and to cherish that time that, you know, obviously we don't spend enough time, I believe, with our families and our friends. And that was another thing about the time and age that we live in. One of the issues that we would have to be dealing with is our relationships with our families, with our friends, with the rest of humanity. And not just our relationships with other people, but our relationships to life, to the rest of life here on this earth, our relationship to the Mother Earth, and of course our relationship to the Creator, to the Great Spirit. So, to me, that's the necessity. Everything that we're going through was meant to be. It was meant to happen. It has to happen in order for us to accelerate and evolve to get to the next level, because we really live in a society that's been despiritualized. Everything's been despiritualized, and so we're going in the wrong direction. You know, science and technology is not going to save humankind, and I know Western society has really been based pretty much on Western thinking, of course, and science and technology. But the answers that are the solutions to the multiplicity of human crises right now is never going to be found in a computer. It's never going to be found in the same kind of system and thinking that got us into this situation. So, yeah, you know, when I say again, this is a very deep subject matter. It encompasses a lot of different aspects of what's going on. It's true. The elders say that there's a dark cloud around the earth right now that has been created by the minds of human beings. And you see it. It's very obvious. The greed and the violence, everything goes with all that darkness in today's life, that life is no longer considered sacred by people. It's been commodified, you know. People are just objects to be used in an economy and maximizing profit, you know, off of people's labor, all of these things. It's all interrelated, the economy, the environment, the media, government, the politics. When you look at the cumulative effects of all of that, the one common denominator is that people have been lied to for, well, since the beginning, for a very long time. So that's what I see in this virus. You know, I see a lot of things. A lot of good things can come out of it if people really learn the deeper lessons of what this is about, you know, on the spiritual level. And yeah, one could say from a scientific standpoint, this is just a virus, you know, that's all it is. No, it's much deeper than that. And if people have such a narrow understanding of life that it's only limited to some kind of a biological crisis, then, you know, that's really sad, because we have to have a much bigger picture of what's going on here on the earth and our interrelationships with human beings and with other life here on earth. And if we don't, then again, it's going to be very dark. We have to get out of this darkness. The question is, will we? And this is in real time now. You know, everyone has a role to play in regards to bringing healing to the earth and bringing healing to ourselves, because humanity really has to go through a great healing for all of the darkness that we've already gone through. And to acknowledge that darkness for what it is, we are not living according to the original instructions of the Creator. And it's only going to get worse until people wake up and start doing what they need to do.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot to think about. It's a lot of amazing things that you're saying. That are really, you know, a lot to think about. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, I can tell you that from my end, that, I mean, thank you so much. There's so much that you've said, and I'm really grateful that you're willing to have this discussion. So I want to say, first of all, thanks so much for doing it.
Sure. Mm. Just glad to contribute, and it's always good talking with you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much, Coyote. So that was Laughing Coyote from the California Indian Mono Tribe. Thank you so much, Coyote. That was wonderful. I really hope everyone enjoyed this talk. I know I'm going to be listening to it for a while. It's going to take some processing to let all that sink in. I feel like there was so much that's been said here today. I do want to end off with a bit of music. We're going to hear just an improvisation on the Native American flute, and the musician this time is me. I hope you enjoy. Thank you. So that was me playing the Native American flute. I want to say thank you so much to Laughing Coyote for doing this interview with me, and thank you so much to everyone who's listening. This is Hear the World. My name is Asaf Ophir, and next week I'm going to be doing an interview with a Jewish rabbi. I hope that everyone is well and safe and healthy and taking care of yourselves, and have a wonderful week. Bye.